Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
It's another week of some intriguing conversation, and I tell you what, that's not fluff, okay? This is going to be some fun conversation. If you like stories, if you like stories behind songs, you're going to be in for a treat. We have Aaron Wilburn sitting with us, and we're going to hear his music, his story, his stories, and much more as this hour continues along. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, thanks a lot, Daniel. Good to be here.
The name Wilburn is not a strange name to gospel music, but there is no relation between you and then the old singing group, the Wilburns, right?
None that we know of. Jonathan. We discuss it because, you know, he calls me cuz and I call him cuz. But as far as we know, there's no relationship.
But it's kind of like Karen Peck and Susan Peck.
Right.
You know, one's a songwriter and one's a singer, and there, to our knowledge, or Mosey and Hovey Lister, who would have thought
right.
Those names would not be related?
Yeah.
Well, cool. You come from Alabama, right?
From near Huntsville, a little place called Bobo, B-O-B-O.
You can't make this stuff up, can
no,
you?
No, you can't make that up. Near Lick Skillet.
What first introduced you to music? Something you grew up with?
Our family sang, and we had a family group, you know, I guess a lot of people did during those days. We didn't have television, and entertainment was singing, you know, if you could sing, if you could carry a tune. And my mom and dad and all the siblings sang. My older brother played a guitar. My dad led singing in the church, in the little Free Will Baptist church there. And I grew up with that.
And some of the stories you tell, I imagine, come from life in the South and from your childhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Observations.
Sometimes I use the names, and sometimes the names have been changed.
To protect the innocent.
Yes, and the guilty.
That's right. You don't have to tell your age if you don't want to, but at some point back in the 70s, the Hampi Goodman family called, or you called them. How did that process start?
Well, I had a little trio, a little group that I sang with. We were on near Scottsboro, Alabama, at a Church of God, and I remember it was an afternoon, you know, all-day singing kind of thing, and we had sang that morning in the church and then had dinner, and this guy walks up to me, and he said, a couple of those songs you wrote are really good. I wish you'd give me a tape, and I'd like to give them to my sister, and she's a singer. And I said, okay. So he walked away, nothing else was said, and one of the guys that sang with me walked up and asked, do you know who you were just talking to? And I said, no. He said, that was Cat Freeman. That's Vestal Goodman's brother. And then I realized the sister that he was talking about was Vestal Goodman. Well, the Goodmans were somebody I watched on television at a neighbor's house on Sunday morning as I was growing up, Daniel. We had no television. I would walk to a couple's house, lived right up the road from us, Mr. and Mrs. Homer Camp, and they would let me watch Gospel Singing Jubilee while they ate breakfast. And of course, I had no idea that one day I would be on that show and be a part of it. But anyway, to make a long story short, I talked to Cat Freeman again that day, and he told me the Goodmans were going to be in Huntsville, Alabama at the Dallas Street Army a few months, or 2 or 3 months maybe from that, that time. And he set it up for me to meet the Goodmans and for me to play Rusty a couple of my songs. And that night, Rusty talked to me, and he said, you're going to be a great songwriter. And then he asked me if I could come to Birmingham a month or two later. And I literally had to get a friend of mine to drive me. I had no car, I had no money. I couldn't have paid $3 to get in the Dallas Street Army that night if I, you
wow.
know.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going to Birmingham a few weeks later. And Rusty talked to me that night and asked me what I wanted to do. Told him I wanted to sing gospel music. And a few days later, got a phone call. My mom called me at my sister's. I was there at my sister's visiting, and she said, Rusty Goodman just called and asked you to come to Madisonville, Kentucky, to travel with the Hampi Goodman family. And man, this was like a dream come true. I'm telling you, American Idol has nothing on me because I received the phone call of a lifetime.
Oh, man.
And it was, so I moved to Madisonville, Kentucky, and continued writing. I wrote several of the Goodman songs. What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again with Eddie Crook. That sounds like home to me with Eddie Crook. Set Another Place at the Table was another one of our songs. Just Any Day Now. He Said Peace later on. Anyway, and there's a lot of other songs in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
But I wrote a lot of songs for the Goodmans.
Well, the ship was tossed, just a matter of time. The disciples cried out, oh, we're gonna die. But the waves laid down, for they had no choice. When the sea and the sky recognized his voice, and he said, peace be still. He said, peace be still. And the raging storm obeyed his will. He's the master of the troubled seas. The sun came through when he said,
story as we sing of his grace and glory.
Happy Goodman family on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends, where we're putting our spotlight on the writer of those songs, Aaron Wilburn. And we continue talking to Aaron about his time traveling with the Goodmans.
So Madisonville, Kentucky, that's where they were based of for a while, right?
Right. For the years that I was there, 71 through 74, they were there. And pretty much stayed there, I think, until the late 70s. And then Rusty sold his home and moved to Nashville. And they kind of scattered after that.
Mm-hmm. When Rusty started talking to you, because you eventually went on to play rhythm guitar, right?
Yeah, I played rhythm guitar and travel with them, and then they would bring me up, and I'd sing a couple of songs during the concert.
Is that what they hired you for originally, was the guitar, or was it strictly for songwriting?
No, Rusty said that Rusty wanted to showcase me as a singer. And so he talked Howard and Vestal and Sam into letting me sing a song, and they recorded an album on me in the studio. And I ended up on the Gospel Singing Jubilee. Steve Sanders left just about that time, so it left that opening. And it was, I think, God's timing in my life.
Wow. Now, when Rusty and you started talking, by this time, Rusty had already established himself as a great songwriter, right?
Oh, yeah. The first night that I saw them, I remember sitting there in that Dallas Street Armory on those old long benches. And Sam Goodman said, "Brother Rusty has just written a new song, and he's going to sing it for you tonight." And Rusty walked up to the microphone and started singing, "When I think of how he came so far from glory."
Wow.
And I mean, the place, you know, just fell silent. And I remember sitting there and watching people weep. And I realized the power of music and the power of a song. And I mean, I think I already knew it, but it really dawned on me that night, this is what I want to do with my life.
That's the voice of Aaron Wilburn, and traveled. A lot of people may not realize that, especially newcomers to gospel music, realize that Aaron traveled with the Goodmans in the 71 to 74, is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, range. And some great, great songs. Now, do we have any classic sounds of the Goodmans that actually feature you? I know we talked about some where you sing backup. Is there anything where your voice may be heard somewhat prominently?
Not on their recordings.
They're singing your songs.
Right.
Gotcha. And What a Beautiful Day is one of those that will live and live and live. I think you were telling me that is still one that you hear a response from to this day.
Well, and as long as radio stations keeps playing it, you know, people are going to keep hearing it. Thank God for that. And I think, too, it's an uplifting song. And I have, you know, I think we all have to write what we're called to write. But I think we sing way too much about dying and about sorrow and pain and burdens these days. And I think we serve a great God. And our gospel has become a downtrodden gospel. It's like, I don't know if God can bring me through this or not. Well, that's not the God I serve. That's not the God that gave me the songs in the 70s. Yeah. And that's not the God that put the dream in my heart to write songs. That's not the God that brings laughter through me these days. I serve a great God. And I tell you what, we're going to make it. Not in spite of God, but because of God.
Yeah.
And I tell you, sometimes our songs sound like, well, God, I know you're with me, but I don't know. I hope you're not as worried as I am, because I don't know what we're going to do, you know.
There's never perspiration on his upper lip. And I tell you what, that song, your song came to mind, What a Beautiful Day. I heard a preacher talking about this aunt of his. He just remembered her growing up in the mountains of North Carolina. He'd visit her. And every day she'd go to the window and she'd pull the curtains back and she'd look out and say, maybe today, Lord, maybe today.
Wow.
Isn't that a great, I mean, that just immediately popped in my head, your song, What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again.
Absolutely.
Here's the Happy Goodman family singing Aaron's song. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to
sounds upon my ears. I can't help but keep a watch toward the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I hear.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and we're getting to know Aaron better and this, the story that is his life. Of course, you may know him primarily as a storyteller, but his life is quite interesting as well. And of course, the Happy Goodmans, a major part of your life in the 70s. Before the Goodmans recorded a lot of your music, but I hear something about Naomi and the Seagoes, or the Seago brothers and Naomi.
Yeah. They recorded the first song. My first song that I had recorded was recorded by the Seago brothers and Naomi. It was a song called Modern Age of Progress. And ironically, I still have people walk up to my table and ask me if I have a recording of that song. People from that era and that time still remember it and still regard that song as one of their favorites.
When you were with the Goodmans, and I know you mentioned the name a few minutes ago, you wrote some songs with Eddie Crook.
Yes.
And Eddie was pianist, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who were some of the other band members?
Jack Smith played steel guitar, Larry Strelecki on bass, Jim Dumas lead guitar, and of course Rick Goodman was the drummer. Mm. And then, you know, there were other musicians that kind of from time to time in and out, but those were the main ones during that time.
Now, after, I guess, the late 70s, early 80s, I think the Goodmans kind of quit traveling as a family.
Right.
I think Howard and Vestal went to PTL.
Yeah.
And Sam did some solo stuff, and Rusty did some solo. Did you keep in contact with the members of the family through that?
Yeah. And through the years, we always kept in touch.
Yeah. Did you continue to write for them at that point?
Yes. Rusty wrote, I think, during that time, Rusty and Michael English, when Michael was with him and Tanya, they recorded a song that called Home. Actually, Rusty and Tanya and I wrote that song together, the song called Home.
Yeah.
I don't remember that Sam recorded any of the others during that time. Howard and Vestal recorded It's Beginning to Rain. I believe another one or two.
Well, this is the song Home as recorded by the Gaither Vocal Band, another of Aaron's great songs. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Learn more online at danielbritt.com.
Home is where the heart is. My heart's on home. Though I never really had one to call my own. I've been given a key by the carpenter of Galilee. With interest paid, the title's made to seems lately I am no exception to the rule. But home is so much more than windows, walls, and doors. It's a warm embrace where a smiling face is waiting.
Of the songs that you have written have been co-written by some others. I see, and listen to this, I see some names like Gerald Crabb, Michael Sykes, Mike English, Bill and Gloria Gaither. Of course, we mentioned Eddie Crook. Phil Johnson is also listed here. Tell me about collaboration when you co-write a song and how that works. Do you typically write the words, or do you typically write the music, or and are you in the same room when you're writing it?
Sometimes. All of those songs have different circumstances for the most part. Eddie Crook and I would usually pretty much have the lyric together, and Eddie would sit down and he would fashion the melody around it. He's great at that. Phil Johnson and I wrote the songs that we wrote together, for the most part. I did bring him one set of lyrics, a song called The Word is Mercy, which he put the melody to. But I enjoy kind of what I call marrying the lyric to the melody, you know, as mm-hmm. I go along. Mm-hmm. And I'm more of a lyric writer. If my strong point probably is lyric. Mm-hmm. I would say 10-4. And that's the reason, great melody writers like Phil Johnson and Eddie Crook, Michael Sykes, those guys are great melody writers.
So you prefer to have the melody in place first and then add words to it? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Or the other way around?
Just to sit down with a musician and say, hey, this is an idea I have. And this is kind of the feel I was thinking. Da, 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 da. Now take that feel and take me somewhere else musically.
Yeah.
So, and so we work at it until we feel like the music is saying what the words want it to.
If you could just imagine a bird without a song, fall into the barren earth, wounded, left alone, and then with just a motion a broken wing is mended, the song restored again. The word is mercy. The word is mercy. Mercy.
See nothing else described.
is Mercy. Identifying the voices for you, Tanya Goodman-Sykes with Karen Peck and The Roops. Song written by Phil Johnson and Aaron Wilbert. Now with the collaboration of Aaron and Gerald Crabb, here's the Crabb family, The Reason That I'm Standing. And you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. But through the heartache and frustration, I've kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you
And the songs are just incredible. I mean, I guess we can jump all the way to the top. Probably one of the most requested songs that you have ever gotten. And we get it all the time. It's Karen Peck's fairly new song, 4 Days Late.
Uh-huh. Thank you. That song was a slow, slow birthing process. And I had been very sick and got the idea about 2 years before I wrote it. At the time that I got the idea, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had not slept for 3 days or night. I was in a lot of pain, physically and emotionally. And actually, by the time the doctor figured out what was wrong with me, he told me that it was a miracle that I was still alive. But all that aside, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was reading my Bible, trying to just. Well, I just opened my Bible because I was couldn't sleep. I was sitting up so I wouldn't keep my wife awake, tossing, turning, hurting. And I opened my Bible, and there it was, the 11th chapter of John. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. And so he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And man, it just dawned on me at that point, Daniel, that I was not the first one to wait for God, and he didn't show up when I thought he should.
Yeah.
And then I realized that Lazarus must have said to Mary and Martha, "Would you look out the window to see if he's coming? Are you sure he knows how sick I am?" And he died expecting his friend Jesus to walk through the door at any time and deliver him out of his pain. And sometimes it does not happen. That is not the gospel that you'll hear a lot of times, but that is the gospel that is in the Bible. And there are times that we go through stuff, and God does not deliver us out of it every time when we think he should. And that is the truth of the gospel. And that's just the way it is.
Well, 4 days late, and you told me the slow process of that song, too, was also that you pitched and pitched and pitched the song.
Oh, after I wrote it, I pitched it for 3.5 years. And the people that I pitched it to, you would know probably all of them. And it was a no every time I played it for somebody. No, it's no. And I was thinking, they have no idea how they could sing this song. And so anyway, one night I started singing it myself. So I walked off stage in Jackson, Tennessee, and Karen Peck was standing off to the side crying. And she hugged me, and she said, "Every time you sing that song, I weep." And I asked, well, why don't you record it? And she said, that's your song. I said, Karen, I've been trying to get somebody to record it for 3.5 years. She said, I'm recording in 2 weeks. Can I have it? I said, absolutely. So two and a half weeks later, she recorded it.
Wow. Those other groups that you pitched it to, you ever talk to them and they say, man, we missed out on one?
Yeah, sometimes they say, well, God just saved it for her. And I said, no, God saved it for somebody that knew a good song.
4 days late, once you've heard it, you won't forget it. It is one of those songs that stick with you. Karen Peck, A New River right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over, buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends, and you're listening to the songs of Aaron Wilburn. Of course, some of these are sung by some other groups, but songs that he's written, and he's written a boatload of some great songs. Now, one song that may not be the most recognizable, I don't know, you can tell me, but one of my favorite songs that you've written, I know you've recorded it, and I think the Greens, Tony, has recorded it, is One Day, and I just love that.
You know, that is one of my favorite songs, and there's a story behind it, as there is usually with most of the things that I write. My wife and I were staying at the invitation of a friend in Florida at their lakeside cabin, or in their lakeside cabin. And when we went down there, they promised us, you know, we won't bother you, and you can just have time to yourself and your family. So I promised my wife, we're just going to take it easy and spend time together. Well, you know how that is. We brunched and we lunched and we dined, and 2 days later we're packing up to leave. And my wife said, well, I was hoping we could take a walk by the lake and feed the ducks. And she said, we didn't have time. And I apologized to her, and I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I took your time, and I gave it to other people. Please forgive me. And she very kindly, she said, well, one day. And boy, when she said that, it was like someone stuck a knife into my heart. Mm-hmm. And she didn't mean it to do that, but that's, I just really convicted me. And so somewhere between Live Oak, Florida, and Montgomery, Alabama, I started writing the song, One Day When I'm Not So Busy, One Day When the Bills Are All Paid, We'll Have Some Good Times Together and Things Will Get Better One Day.
She stands and stares out the window, drying dishes and holding back tears. She sure could use a vacation, but she's felt the same way for years. Though she'd love a trip to the ocean, a day on the lake would do fine. But she's heard his answer so often, she's memorized every line. I'm not so busy. One day when the bills are all paid, we'll have some good times together, and things will get better one day. There's a boy that stands with a glove in his hand as Dad sits down in his chair. A little girl bakes an invisible cake and gladly brings Daddy his share. But there is no time for pretending, no game or Mother Goose rhyme. And the only fairy tale they will hear is the promise some other time. One day when I'm not so busy, one day when the bills are all paid, hey, we'll have some good times together, and things will get better one day. But time spins weaving a web, and dreams are caught in thin air. Life goes on until it's gone, and then it all disappears. He can't believe he's 80, and she'll soon be 75. They're always home together these days, since neither one of them drive. They try to remember the memories of the years when the kids were at home,
one day when the bills are all paid, hey, we'll have some good times together, and things will get better one day.
This is Daniel Pritt and Friends, and our guest today is Aaron Wilburn, who has written some dynamite songs. That just blows me away when I look at the roster. I mean, you get some good songs out of some decent songwriters, and there's one or two that you can post up on the wall and say, hey, look at these, aren't they good songs? But then you get somebody like Aaron Wilburn, or I just interviewed Gordon Jensen, yeah, or of course, Bill and Gloria Gaither, and you just have, or Dottie Rambo, you know, you just have walls and walls of songs that you could brag about. And you're that way. You have such a talent at conveying things. I tell you what, there's a song that I want to talk about because it's so, I don't know, colloquial or it's just a cliche that we have used in modern culture. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And then you come out with this song. Jeff and Sherry recorded it. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Did that come from the saying?
Came from the saying. If I hear a slogan or read a slogan, or hear somebody saying something over and over, I think, hey, there's a song there. In fact, years ago, Lauren Talley's first recorded song, as far as I know, was a song I wrote called An Apple a Day. If an apple a day keeps the doctor away, think what a prayer will do. Anyway, so I love to take little yeah, lines that people, you know, in everyday language use and turn it into a song.
Here's one that I heard recently. See if you can come up with something. Yeah, Jesus loves you, but don't let it go to your head. And you want to say, yeah, Jesus loves you, let it go to your head.
There you go. And let it go to your heart.
That's right. That's right. This is Jeff and Sherry singing Aaron's music now on Daniel Pritt and Pritt.
You know it wasn't long ago, man, I thought I was strong. Living my life out on my own until my strength gone. Free as a feather in a foolish wind, I go anywhere it flew. But the storms of life left me with nothing to hold on to. I've been there, I've done that, and I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that. Trusting heart and crush till it breaks. But I have found the shelter of the Father's arms to say, where you could offer me this whole wide world and beg me please to stay. But I'll just smile and wave goodbye, and then you'll hear me say, I've been there, I've done that. Worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. No, I'm never going back. No way. I've been there, done that. Been there and done that. And I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. Our guest today is Aaron Wilburn. That, by the way, Jeff and Sherry Easter singing a song Aaron wrote, Been There, Done That. And that was recorded at a Gaither homecoming event in Atlanta, Georgia. And speaking of Gaither, you co-wrote a couple of songs. I think it's just kind of fun that you, the two songs you wrote with them, and tell me if there are more, but as far as I know, the two songs you wrote with them have to do with rain.
Yeah, and, you know, there was no forethought in that. It just happened. There is a third song that Bill and I wrote together. I think I recorded it years and years ago and nobody else. I don't know that we ever played it for somebody else. But anyway, it's kind of funny because it says, sometimes I look in the mirror and stare for a while, wishing I could be someone I'm not. Trying to fix my nose. Me and Bill wrote this, right? Trying to fix my nose or straighten my smile. Then I remember something important I forgot. I'm created in his image. In his image he created me. Wow. I bear resemblance to my heavenly father. So why should I stand ashamed for the world to see? Anyway, the name of the song is I Like Me.
Cool.
And so that's the third song that we wrote together, Bill and I, that probably no one has ever heard.
Well, the two rain songs, It's Beginning to Rain. I love the melody of that. You feel like you can watch the rain or you can hear the rain in that song. I don't know what it is about the melody. And then the other song is It Won't Rain Always.
Mm-hmm.
And some great ones.
Thank you. And of course, two different kind of rains. One is that rain that falls in everybody's life in the tough times, and then of course the other one, it's beginning to rain, is the rain of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
and the blessings. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what time frame were they written, close together, or were they just different times throughout your life?
I think there was probably about maybe a year and a half between them.
Mm. And how did that collaboration come about?
The first one, It's Beginning to Rain, I went to Bill and Gloria's house to write with them, and I had gotten the idea over the weekend. It's funny because I got the idea on Friday night. I was at the quartet convention, and a group called the Cruz Family was on stage at the quartet convention, and they were singing this song, and I turned to this guy beside me, and I said, "Wow, what a great song." He said, "What?" I said, "That song." I said, "What a great idea. It's beginning to rain." He said, "They didn't say it's beginning to rain." And I asked, "What did they say?" He said, "Let's begin to rain. R-E-I-G-N. And I looked at him. I said, "They didn't say it's beginning to rain?" He said, "No." I said, "Wow, what a great idea." And then suddenly all I could think of was, "Afterwards it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh," and da 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 da. And I took that idea. In fact, I still have the cassette recording of me driving to Bill and Gloria's house, and trucks are passing me on the interstate, and on this tape you hear singing my singing, "It's beginning to rain." Da na na da na na na. Wow! A truck passes me, you know. And anyway, that's I got to their house, shared that idea with them, and they said that's the song. And a couple of hours later, we'd written the song.
And Gaither Trio recorded that. I think Candy Christmas recorded that song.
Doug Oldham was the first.
Doug Oldham recorded. Uh-huh. And then the other was It Won't Rain Always, which Cynthia Clawson did a great job with. And then in more recent times, I think Janet Pascal picked that
right
up and went with it.
Right.
And I remember seeing nights at homecoming events, Bill would have Janet sing that, It Won't Rain Always. And he'd bring her back, sing it again, and tears strolling down his face.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd just moved by that.
And a few months ago, of course, we did another video in Nashville. And Janet sang that song on the new video. And, of course, after her illness, after her bout with cancer, and which, thank God, she has won that battle. And right before she sang It Won't Rain Always, she made the statement that she'd sung it a lot of times. But now she knows the true meaning of it. And she didn't realize the meaning of the song, really.
More personal.
Until she's gone through what she's gone through.
Britain friends, you're listening to our guest today, Aaron Wilburn. Some great songs that you have written, and I mean, man, these are incredible. And putting these all, you know, on a platter here for us to sample, just again reiterates the talent of songwriting and communication. And when you talk about communication, it doesn't end with song with you; it carries on over to stories. And today, you make your home in Nashville. Is that right?
That's correct. Uh huh.
And you and your wife, and you've got three kids. And a grandbaby on the way.
A grandbaby on the way. Just wait. You think I'm stupid now? Ha, ha, ha. You haven't seen anything.
AaronWilburn.com. Aaron, it's great for you to stop by, and it's been fun getting to know you better.
The pleasure has been mine, Daniel. Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.